Tonight, Brother Cameron Freeman, Athens, Georgia. He's minister of the Clark County Church of Christ. And we're so thankful he accepted our invitation. And tonight his topic is conversion in Corinth, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Let's give our ears to hear the word from Brother Cameron. Brother Cameron?
We want to say hello and don't want to say goodnight because, you know, we say goodnight, that's kind of we call it a night. We're going to say hello and good evening to everyone who's on the call, the gospel call tonight. I want to thank Brother Brooks and all of our co-hosts that work with the Gospel Call, Nationwide Gospel Call, once again for this this great invitation to be a part of this series of gospel meetings and sermons from the Word of God. And we appreciate all those who have called in to listen, and we appreciate your attentive and listening ear. Tonight we're going to be looking at conversion in Corinth. And the reason why this is important is because if you were to ask the average church-going person, the person who is Christianity-oriented, or the average person who claims to believe in Jesus, about conversion, eternal life, and salvation, they would tell you something totally different about salvation and conversion and eternal life. If you were to ask a particular denominational preacher about conversion, eternal life, or salvation, they would tell you something differently than what the Bible has to say about conversion and salvation and eternal life. If you were to even ask or email or call in to one of the televangelists, they would tell you something differently than what the Bible has to say about conversion, eternal life, and salvation. As a matter of fact, several of many well-known and famous televangelists have been called to the carpet, have been questioned by important people and news anchors and famous people to answer biblical texts and biblical questions, only to deny what the Bible actually taught. And so these things are not too far from being the truth. And so what we need to realize is that the Bible is the only answer, the only solution to what we need to know and to learn and to do and to practice in terms of conversion, salvation, and eternal life. And I believe that if you were to consult the Bible, you would find the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? And better yet, for our topic tonight, what must I do to be converted? Well, I believe that when you look at Acts chapter 18, while Paul was in Corinth, Paul was able to preach the gospel, and Paul was able to convert some people while he was in Corinth. And so what we have in Acts 18:8, the Bible says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Conversion in Corinth. From this one verse, we have two interesting things that we need to consider tonight. Number one, we need to consider the conversion of Crispus in Acts 18:8a, and then we also need to consider the conversion of the Corinthians in Acts 18:8b. And so we look at Acts 18:8 exclusively to consider what does New Testament conversion look like. First and foremost, the conversion of Crispus. Luke, as he records this account, Luke simply says in Acts 18:8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And so what we have here, we have Crispus being the chief ruler of the synagogue. And the text simply says that he believed on the Lord with all of his house. And so we have Paul preaching the gospel in Corinth. And as a result, Crispus believed. Now, how do we know that Paul preached the gospel, Paul preached the good news, the glad tidings? Well, when you back up to Acts 18 and verse number 4, the Bible says, and every Sabbath, Paul was in a synagogue, and Paul preached to the Jews and the Greeks, Acts 18:5. And while Paul waited for Silas and Timotheus, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So you see, Paul in the synagogue every Sabbath day, and Paul was testifying, recording, rehearsing facts, rather, that Jesus was the Christ. Now, this coincides exactly with what he says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," that's Acts 18:8, "when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Acts 18:4 and 5 coincides with 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, where Paul testified that Jesus was the Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that his testimony was about Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul testified. He gave testimony. He rehearsed the facts concerning the person, the work, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so as a result of Paul preaching that Jesus was the Christ and that Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins, because that was the saving message, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, where Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It was the saving message, the power of God. So when Paul preached that message, there was a gentleman by the name of Crispus, who was the chief ruler of the synagogue, and he believed on the Lord with all of his heart. That's how Crispus was converted. He was converted through the preaching of Christ. He was converted through the preaching of Christ being crucified, that saving message. Now, what is interesting, in Acts 18:8, you have Crispus being converted, and then you also have the Corinthians being converted. But when you look at the verse carefully, Acts 18:8, the Bible simply says Crispus believed on the Lord with all of his house. But then something differently takes place, what is said about the rest of the Corinthians. "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." Now, is this a contradiction? This is a question that we need to be asking ourselves. Because it is said of one person that they simply believed, and then it is said of the rest of the Corinthians that they hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now, is this a contradiction? Did Paul preach one thing to Crispus and his house, as something totally different to the rest of the Corinthians? The reason why this is important is because sometimes people will have us to believe that the Bible is filled with contradiction. Sometimes people have us believe that Paul preached one thing to one group and preached something entirely different to another group. And the reason why that is important is because today we have the same thing. Some people, when they want to inquire about salvation and want to inquire about conversion and eternal life, they will go to the Bible, and then some people, they will go to their preacher, they will go to their bishop, they will go to their pastor. But then when you look at Acts 18:8 carefully, there is no contradiction. And the reason why I know that there's no contradiction is because when you consider the writings of Paul, Paul made it abundantly clear that there was only one gospel, there was only one faith, there was only one message. And so when you go through Paul's writing, for example, when you read Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, Paul says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it, singular, the gospel, was the power of God and salvation to everyone that believed, to Jews and also to Greeks. So there was not a separate gospel for Jews and a different gospel to Greek or Gentiles. When you go to 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul, as he's writing back to that same group of people in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul says that they should all speak the same thing, singular. What same thing? That same gospel, that same faith, that same word of God. Paul says, speak the same thing. not a multiplicity of things, not two or three or 40-something thousand things, but the same thing, the same gospel that he preached. And then Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1:10, let there be no divisions among you. You know, it's interesting when the New Testament talks about division, many times members of the Church of Christ, members of the body of Christ, we read this and we directly apply this to denominationalism. Paul is writing to the Church of Christ, to the body of Christ, and telling us we need to make sure that we don't have divisions among us. And so here it is. Paul wants us to be unified by that same gospel message. When you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice what he says, 2 Corinthians 4:3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, there's only one gospel. If that gospel is hid, it is hid to those who reject it, to those who don't want to accept it, to those who don't want to obey it. It is hid to them that are lost. Why? Because the God of this world saves. The God of this world has blinded their mind. And in the interactions, you try to show people what God has said. You try to help people come to a knowledge of the truth of the gospel, help people be converted to Christ. And sometimes you show them in the Bible exactly what it says for them to do. And they say, I can't see it. I can't see it. Well, we know you can't see it because your minds are blinded by the God of this world to the gospel. And so there's only one gospel. When you get to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, I marvel, Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse number 7 says, which is not another gospel, but that be some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul says there is not another gospel. There's not a social gospel. There's not an ecumenical gospel. There's not a prosperity gospel. There's only one gospel. That's a historical, factual, and scriptural gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Once again, Paul says there is not a gospel. When you read the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, when Paul would talk about the unity, keeping the unity of the bond, unity of the spirit, and the bond of peace, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body. There is one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all and through all and in you all. In Ephesians 4, 5, Paul says, there is one faith. And so when we talk about that one faith, many times you hear people say, well, you know what, just keep the faith. And many times people say that without even knowing what that statement means. To keep the faith is not to keep one's personal faith. The faith is the system of faith. It is the system of truth. Better yet, it is the testament. It is that one body of truth that converts us to Christ, that saves us and gives us the hope of eternal life. So when the Bible talks about the faith, it's not talking about personal faith. It's talking about the faith that was once given by God, Jude verse number 3. But Jude said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common faith, it was needful for me to write unto you that those that earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. So the faith, Ephesians 4, 5, is that one body of truth, that system of truth, whereby we're converted to Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, Paul would talk about it, Philippians 1 and verse number 27. Paul would say, Philippians 1, 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whereby I come and see you else be after, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Once again, the gospel, part of that one thing. You read Colossians 1:23, Paul talks about the faith that he had preached to all of the world. Colossians 1:23, he continued in the faith, grounded and settled, and he had with the hope of the gospel, which he had heard and which was preached to every people looked under heaven, whereby Paul had made a minister. Paul wanted the Colossians faith to continue in that faith, and so continuing the faith, they will receive that one hope, the one hope that he talked about in Colossians 1:5. That hope that was given to all of humanity. In Colossians 1:5, Paul talks about, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Then when you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Paul says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Once again, that's the gospel. That gospel that saves us from the wrath of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we are called by that one gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attainment of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, that one gospel, that one faith, that one system of truth is what God uses to call us unto salvation. And then in 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul would tell Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now think about what Paul is telling Timothy. Paul gives Timothy a charge, a command, not to teach any other doctrine. So there can't be two different messages if Paul is telling Timothy not to teach any other doctrine, any other message, any other faith, any other gospel. And this was a solemn charge given to Timothy. And then in 2 Timothy 1, Paul would tell Timothy, that was only one saving message. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us through Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul says God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our good deeds, but according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Paul's final letter in the New Testament, Titus 2:11-14, Paul was, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teach that denying and godly and worldly love, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a pure and good works. Now you may say, well, why were all of these passages necessary? Well, all of these passages are necessary to show us that when you read Acts 18:8, even though the Bible says Crispus simply believed, and the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, the reason why all these passages were necessary to show there were not two different messages. Do you think Paul preached two different messages in the same city at the same time? Absolutely not. Nobody in their right mind would think Paul preached one thing to Crispus and then something totally different to the rest of the Corinthians. So what you have in Acts 18:8, Paul used the word, Luke used the word for Crispus. Crispus simply believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his house. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, guests of the program, the word believe here, as you find in your New Testament, is a form of speech known as a synecdoche, where part of something is put for the whole. And so what you have something, one word is put for the whole thing. And what you have is the word believe here is put for the entirety of the plan of salvation. And so what Luke does on many occasions, Luke does not say in every single instance where people became Christians and when they were converted to Christ, Luke does not write every single time that they heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized. So he uses one word many times to show that they simply believe, and that encompasses the whole of salvation. And the reason I know that to be the case is because that when you consider that everybody in Corinth was saved the exact same way, whether it was Crispus, whether it was Gaius, whether it was Stephanus, everybody that heard Paul preach in Corinth who were converted to Christ were saved the exact same way. Well, how do I know it? When you go to the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." They had fornicators down in Corinth. "Nor idolaters." They had people who were worshiping idol gods, who had other gods first place in their lives except the God of heaven. "Nor adulterers." Yes, they were doing that down in Corinth too. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. "Nor effeminate, nor abuse of the sales of mankind." When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, nearly 2,000 years ago, homosexuality was practiced. Then he goes on to verse number 10. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners." None of these people who were practicing these vices, thievery, being covetous, being greedy, being drunkards, being revilers, extortioners. Paul says these things were taking place. And then he says in verse number 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Everybody in Corinth was washed, was sanctified, and was justified through the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus. Everybody in Corinth was converted the exact same way. And what's interesting, you may say, well, how do we know for sure? And how do we know with assurance that Crispus was converted the same way as the rest of the Corinthians? Well, when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read verse 10 earlier, 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says, in verse number 11 beginning, "For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ is not broken into fragmentary pieces. He is not divided as one with shattered glass." That's the imagery there. "Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Notice what Paul says in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 1, 14. "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." So what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is that Jesus Christ, I sent him to Corinth, that's Acts 18, 1 and following. But when he went there, he was sent there specifically to preach the gospel. And as a result of preaching the gospel, men and women would be converted to Christ through baptism, but it was not Paul's responsibility to be the main one baptizing, to be the baptizer, to be the immerser. Paul's main obligation was to present the saving message, and someone else could immerse them in the water. But Paul did baptize people, Crispus, Gaius, and Stephanus. And so when you read 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 14, it shows us that the same person that's mentioned in Acts 18:8, the chief ruler of the synagogue, the gentleman by the name of Crispus, he was baptized. And so all of these things coincide with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Verse number 13, where Paul says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free." And so we are all baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And so all of the conversions that took place in the city of Corinth, whether it was Crispus, whether it were the Corinthians, whether it was Gaius, was the household of Stephanus, everybody in Corinth was converted or saved the exact same way. Today, in modern times, in 2023, if a person wants to be saved, if a person wants to give their life to Jesus, if a person wants to be converted to Christ, they got to do the exact same thing Crispus did, the Corinthians did, Gaius did, Stephanus did. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. The reason why you see that in Scripture is because that is God's divine plan for salvation. The reason why we have to make that abundantly clear is because if you ask people today how to be saved, you will hear a myriad of different answers. You will hear people, some people say, well, all you got to do is say the sinner's prayer. Well, you never see anybody in the New Testament saved by saying the sinner's prayer. You never see anybody in the New Testament being saved by faith only. You never see anybody in the New Testament being saved by grace only. You never see anybody, especially in the New Testament, I think it's interesting, being saved by appealing to the example of the thief on the cross from the day of Pentecost. Everybody that was saved and became Christians, that became members of the Church of Christ in the first century that were converted to Christ, had to obey the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so we would tell people today that if you want to be converted, like Crispus and the Corinthians and all those people who were right with God in the first century, you got to do the exact same thing they did. Paul was sent to preach the gospel. The gospel is the simple message that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die, to be buried, to be resurrected the third day according to the scriptures. And when persons heard that gospel message, when they believed it, when they were willing to repent of their sins, change their minds about their former religions and their former behavior, and once they confessed the mighty name of Jesus Christ before witnesses, and they identified with Jesus Christ in baptism, like Crispus did, like the Corinthians did, like Gaius did, like Stephanus did, once they were converted to Jesus Christ by baptism, they were added to the only church that's found in your New Testament, the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. That's what they did in order to be converted. And if you want to be converted to Christ, you must do the exact same thing. Thank you.